really gave us a picture. It's a strong picture. So would you stand with me tonight? I want to dismiss our children to children's church. I'd like to keep the screen down if you would. Would you turn to Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter? And verse number 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Amen. This whole service has been orchestrated already. Amen. Yeah. Deuteronomy 1 and 30. This is a farewell address of Moses. Just wants to show people how great our God is. Amen. Chapter 1, verse number 30. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. Amen. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Amen. God do anything for you? Amen. Know of any miracles in your life? Yes. And then Isaiah 53. Starting in verse number 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers, he is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And then Revelation, the 5th chapter. In verse number 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Judah was responsible for the praise. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Would you touch it and make it alive? God, speak to us tonight. Speak to us tonight, God. We want to know you. We ask in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. There's a saying, March comes in like a lion, out like a lamb. And it's true with this month. Beginning of the month, we were in single digits. On Thursday, it's going to be 60 degrees. Comes in like a lion, out like a lamb. Passover starts on April 19th this year, and Easter is on April 21st. Now, Valentine's Day is always February 14th, and Christmas is always December 25th. But Easter is defined as the first Sunday after the full moon, after the spring equinox. So it can vary from nearly a month or so. March brings with it the hope of spring. But March is a transitional month. March is a volatile month of weather. Today it's in the mid-30s, but it won't be long, and the snow will be gone. There's such hope when it comes to March and April, because we know it isn't going to last much longer. Now, normally, we get at least a couple of nice days in March. It's kind of a tease for us in Wisconsin, you know? We get the 60-day weather, and we're thinking, ha, finally, it's back. And then we get a snowstorm, you know? And that concludes the weather report brought to you by Apostolic Faith Church. In like the lion out and the lamb in, well, our Savior is just the opposite. He was in like a lamb and out like a lion. He is both the sacrifice and he is the sovereign. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the Lion of Judah that takes precedence over everything and power over everything in this world. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't care what people's persuasion is. I don't care if they're agnostic. I don't care what they don't believe. But one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When it comes to his tomb, he went in like a lamb, but he came out like a lion. It started with the Passover, the departure from Egypt, when God delivered Israel from their bondage. A lamb played a significant part. There had to be a spotless lamb, and that lamb was completely innocent. Not a bone was broken, and the blood of that lamb had to be applied to the doorposts of the house. And when the angel saw the blood, he passed over them. And it was a type of shadow of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the lamb slain from the foundation, a spotless lamb. Amen. Came in on the 10th day, was crucified on the 14th day. Amen. Glory to God. After 9 plagues, God pronounced judgment on all of the firstborn of Egypt, both Egypt and Hebrews suffered alike. There was only one route of escape, and it was known as the Passover Lamb. Amen. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And folks, if there was ever a world that needs a lamb, a spotless lamb to cover all of our blemishes. I was reading yesterday, I told the men at the prison, I read where they found chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea. Now that excites me, folks, because you know what? As they were escaping and the Egyptians were coming after them, God brought back the walls of water. It was 100 foot down, so I can imagine that God divided the Red Sea and there was 100 foot wall of water on this side and 100 foot wall of water. It might be a little frightening to get baptized, but I'm telling you, once you get through the water, the enemy can't get to you. You know, the really smart animals that are in this world, when their predators are after them, the thing that they do is they run into the water, because once they go through the water, that the enemy can't pick up the scent anymore. You know, I tell you what, the enemy's been after all of us, but once we went through the water, can't find those folks anymore. I don't have a scent of them. Amen. This Passover lamb was the shadow and type of Jesus and how he presented himself to this world. Revelation 13 and 8 says, he is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means that he had a plan that he was going to have to suffer as soon as he started creation. Jesus the lamb would be slain for the sins of the world. And when Jesus arrived in his physical body, John the Baptist, the first words that came out of his mouth in John 1 and 29 was, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. Glory to God. And then at the close of his life, Jesus stood before Pilate. And the Bible records in Isaiah 53 and 7, he was as like a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so not opening his mouth. But church, I'm glad that that is not the end of the story. It was the beginning, but hear ye the end. It's opposite of the month of March. He came in like a lamb, but he goes out like a lion. And when he came out, well, he was no longer the sacrifice, but he was the sovereign. He was the judge. He was the all-powerful God, the supreme authority. Amen. A roaring lion. Hallelujah. You turn to Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 18. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Amen. He has the authority over death. Now, we'll all have enemies from time to time, but there isn't anyone that is a greater threat or enemy than death itself. And our God took care of that. He put the keys of hell and death in his hand. He took charge over death. Hallelujah. Romans 6 and 9. In fact, let's start in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, there are some people who think they can sin a little bit and it's okay. That God is so old that he doesn't understand that anymore. God forbid, how shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as us were baptized in Jesus Christ? We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. Glory to God. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Grave's not going to keep me down, folks. Amen. Amen. He went in as a meek Messiah, but he came out as a mighty monarch. He went into the tomb wounded, but he came out as a warrior. He went in as a lamb, but he came out as a lion. Please don't picture our God as a lamb tonight. Amen. Amen. He is a lion, regal. He is majestic. I'm so glad we have this portrait of this lion to give you an idea of how powerful our God is. Hallelujah. Brother Richardson, a few years ago, he's a missionary to Africa and Madagascar, and at district conference a few years ago invited me to go on a safari in Kenya where they have all of the incredible animals just roaming free. And I told him that I'm in a safari every Sunday. He said, the most awesome animal that is out there is the lion. Hands down, there isn't anything that is more majestic, more powerful, more confident in the way they walk. And if you ever have the opportunity to see a lion in the wild, well, you can't help but be in awe of this animal. If we could have a slide. A couple of years ago, I took a group of saints to Puebla. We went out to Africam, and we took this picture. It was dangerous, I'm telling you. But this picture was taken of this most gorgeous girl and this lion. I mean, the lion literally was this far from her. Sister Nibia, we have a picture of you this far from that lion. I guess I've never been up that close to a lion to see how majestic. And you look into its eyes, and it's just so awesome. Hallelujah. Conventional church with Jesus is like a zoo experience with a lion. You know? There he is. There he is, you know? But you know what? God wants an upfront, close experience with this awesome power of a lion. Hallelujah. I want to get as close to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lion of Judah. My God is no longer the silent, suffering Savior as he went into the tomb, but he is the Lion of Judah. He's the Lion of Praise. He marches with majesty and regal splendor. Get the picture? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He stands alone as the King of Kings above all power and all principalities. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 18, after he came out of the grave, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Glory to God. You can see why they called the lion the King of the Jungle, because he's not afraid of anything. Glory to God. My God is not afraid of anything. Can you imagine if you had a lion inside of you? Oh my. Oh my. What are you afraid of? Glory to God. Jesus had to be a lamb first, the sacrifice for our sins, and that's how he went into the tomb. But a lion came out. Amen. We need to get the picture this evening. We need to understand whose we are and who's in us. A lion weighs up to 450 pounds and can be as long as 10 foot long. He can run up to 35 miles per hour. They are without question the king of the jungle, able to subdue everyone in his path. You just know that if you could have a lion next to you, nobody is going to bother you. You wouldn't be afraid to walk in any situation, in any bush. And that is the beauty of serving God, because greater is he that... Greater is he that is in me that he that is in the world. Step back. Make way for the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. Every force submitted to his authority. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every sickness bows to his might. Nothing can stand before our God, the King of Kings. He is the king of this jungle, if you will. Amen. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. You know, from time to time, we just need to bury ourselves in the Word of God. Come out more confident, you know, more direct. And in Romans 8, starting in verse 31, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" That's me. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Can you imagine God praying for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I'm feeling stronger right now. Hallelujah. Amen. All power. All power. Church, it's no time to cower in a corner someplace. Oh, God, help me. From time to time, there are people who get dreams of the enemy, you know, and all of that. And I don't know where all of that comes from, but I know that God is greater. I know that God is more powerful. God, I mean, if you can imagine, I don't know what is the most expensive thing that you bought. It's probably your house, a car, whatever. You pay a lot, you sacrifice for it, and now are you going to take care of it? Are you going to protect it? Now God paid the ultimate price for you and I. And for him not to protect that which he paid for, the house that he lives in, not to protect it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Richardson told me that he took a whole group of pastors on a safari out in Kenya, and everybody was having a good time. They drive in these pretty big safari trucks like Jeep, and so they can get pretty close to all of the animals. And when we were in Puebla, we went to this Africam. They are on about the same level as Kenya as far as the latitude. And we saw just about every animal that's in Africa. And they have thousands of acres, and you drive through it, and they caution you, don't get out of the car, you know, because there's leopards and lions and tigers and elephants and rhinoceroses are supposed to be one of the worst. Also, hippopotamus kill more people in Africa than any other animal. They just have a bad attitude, you know. But Brother Richardson said they were taking all these wonderful, prim, proper pastors, and they were all taking pictures. And all of a sudden, as I remember the story, a baboon comes to attack them. You know, a baboon is one mean, you know, you just don't go to the pet store and get a baboon. So they didn't know what to do. This baboon just charges and grabs a hold of the truck, gets on top, you know, and the pastors are holding on to their toupees and and out of the brush comes this lion. And once that baboon saw that lion, man, he wasn't sticking around for nothing. Now, I'm telling you, there have been some baboons who have been trying to attack me. And there will be some baboons who will try to attack you as well. But there's a lion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. Hallelujah. When my Jesus came out of the tomb, every foe had to back off. All full attack before the tomb. At every corner, at every situation, at every synagogue, there were Sadducees and Pharisees and high priests and backslidden people who were coming after him and coming after him. But when he walked out of that tomb, back off enemy, back off sickness, back off depression, back off fear, back off, King of Kings is here. The line of Judah lives in my house. Hallelujah. What shall we be afraid of? They sang the song tonight. What shall we be afraid of? The Bible tells us that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking who he can devour. Brother Putnam wrote a book, and the book's title was Run to the Roar. It seems like what happens is the male lion out in the bush will roar. In fact, there's a gland within its throat that can sense where the prey is up to a mile away. But the only way it can activate this gland is to roar. But they never do the killing. It's always the female who does the killing. And so, you know, a lot of people are afraid of the roar of the lion, you know, the devil, if you will. And what Brother Putnam says is the safest thing to do is run to the roar. Because generally, it's a toothless lion who can't hunt by itself anymore. So he sends out all of the pride of females to get the dinner ready. Amen. Some things just never change, you know. Glory to God. But both the lamb and the lion are wrapped up in our Savior. The lamb died to take away our sins, and he is the lion to give us victory over the enemy. So many people, they try to make a stand for God, but they don't have a lion inside. They don't have the Holy Ghost in them in order to change their temperament, change their appetite, change their convictions. And I don't know how God did it. I didn't even want to come to church. I didn't want to read the book. But once I was filled with his Spirit, now all of a sudden everything changed in my life. Priorities were different than they were before. So you can't just live without the lion in the belly. You got to have the lion inside that gives you the confidence in order to live for God. He's the lion that gives us victory. He wants you to know in both capacities what he does. He had to be the Lamb. He had to just not say anything so we could be free from our sin. So let this march go out as a lion.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want the weather to get warm, folks. But let this march be more confident in the lion that is within us. When we repent, we are baptized in Jesus' name. The works of the Lamb will cleanse us. And when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of the lion will change us and give us the power and the confidence in order to live for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring on the baboons. You know, one at a time. I've got power. Amen. And frankly, if you look in the face of a lion, it is one of the most majestic, beautiful, strong. Look in the face of my Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? You know, when you first are filled with the Holy Ghost, you just feel like, well, let me earn my way to the place where I can really minister. You know, let the seasoned saints, you know, take charge of what's going on in church. And it should be just the opposite. New converts with the lion inside of them, they really need to step up. Amen. Glory to God. You have the enthusiasm. You just don't have the confidence to put that enthusiasm into action. I'm afraid that sometimes us old lions get like what I talked about. Let somebody else do it. I've been doing it for years. Glory to God. When we were on our trip, my wife and I were talking, and every day we've been thanking God for what God has done for her. And she said, you know, we need to start a Bible study, you know. We need to do this. You know, I saw gray hair the other day. But it's not going to keep me down, folks. Amen. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. There's a lion in there someplace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'd rather wear out than rust out, folks. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let all the lions come forward.